Blog Talk Radio. You know what? I am not hearing. Okay, hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Let me.
Hello.
Hi, Pat. You know what? I'm on just listening to myself. I didn't hear the thing beeping on or anything. So we're going to get started with the show. So, oh, gosh. Okay. So today is just one of those days. So, hi, this is Jeanette Abney and Pastor Dan Estelle. We want to say welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. As today is Tuesday, and today is when we do basically from the pulpit to the couch. Now, today's topic is one of those topics where we're going to be talking about being born again. And as we know, becoming a believer is not what many individuals think of. And most of us will say, well, I'm a believer. I go to church every Sunday. I'm born again. I've also heard people say I was baptized at a young age, or, you know, I have a good relationship with God. But the question is, do you really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you growing in Christ? Is your relationship healthy, or is it one-sided? Now, every relationship takes work. And if you are in this type of relationship and you want to share or you want to help others by spreading the word, I want you to join us by calling in at 516-387-1914. So, Pastor, I'm going to let you take over with this because, like I said, I got a million and one thing going on. So tell us about being born again, Pastor. How do we do that?
Hi. First, I want to say good morning to everyone. My name is Pastor Dan Estelle, and I'm with the Higher Dominion Worship Center in the city of San Marcos. And we're located at 800 West Mission Road in San Marcos, and you can reach us online at hdwc.live. This morning our topic is being born again, and such an important topic that we're talking about today. And so just to open up, I'm going to open it up from a layman's point of view. And a born-again Christian is basically someone who has repented of their sins and turned to Christ for salvation, and as a result has become a part of God's family. And so that's what we definitely need. And we need from being born again because in Genesis, after the fall, we learn that all men are born into sin. And to have a relationship with God again, we have to come through the Son. And to do that, we must repent of our sins, John 3:16, okay, and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if we believe that with all of our heart, we are saved. And when we become saved, we become born again. And then once we become born again, we are on this journey now of growing in Christ. And so there's a lot to it. It's not as simple as it sounds for some people. For other people with a good support group and a good church, it's easier, but it's important for all those who want to go to heaven to be born again. And we're going to open up with that, and then we're going to open it up for questions, because I know there's a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm, Pastor, and I'm looking at this, and this number is like a 11111, so I hope it ain't a prank call. So let's see what this person has to say,
okay,
because it looks kind of interesting. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Okay, Pastor, they don't want to say anything, so we're going to leave that alone since they don't talk.
Yeah, because you called them out. So.
Well, you know what, and that's what's good about having a discernment and, you know, the Holy Spirit and all that. You catch on to things before it happens, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So when we start talking about, like you said, becoming a believer, and many of us get it confused because a lot of times we think it's just about going to church. We think it's about praying. We think it's about, testifying. We have this concept. But when we start talking about that relationship, and a lot of times that relationship is one of the things that becomes kind of questionable, because not only is relationships, when we talk about how did you learn how to engage in a relationship, sometimes when I know as a kid, my mother didn't know how to teach us about that. She just drug up the church, and it was all supposed to just fall into place, you know, in regards to being a good steward and being a good Christian and being obedient. But we really didn't know what that meant. And when you start talking about being born again, and we talk about, you know, people say they was baptized, and I ain't going to tell my story. I guess we can do one show about my baptism, because when I tell people about that, they think I'm making it up. I told them I was cussing and fussing going down and cussing and fussing going coming up because I was pissed because somebody tripped me. But when we start talking about this relationship and becoming a believer, a lot of times, and this is no disrespect to any other people's beliefs and, you know, religion, because one of the things I put out there, Pastor, and I want to start with this too, I put something out there I found on the internet, and it was talking about religion versus relationship. Can we speak on that a little bit?
Yes. It's very important to talk about that, and that's what I had down as my number one point, because there's a huge difference between not so much religion and relationship, but it's who you have a relationship with. And you want to have a relationship with Christ and not so much a relationship with the church, with church as a religious body. And so we're saying the same thing, but no story in the New Testament gives us a better description of that than when Jesus talks to Nicodemus in John chapter 2, verses 23 on through chapter 3. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and this was important because of those that were all against Jesus, he saw enough to see that Jesus was real. And so while Jesus was performing his ministry, a Pharisee came to him. And not only was Nicodemus a Pharisee, but he was part of the Jewish high court, okay, what we would equivalent to our Supreme Court. So he was a part of the Sanhedrin, okay? And so with all of his high status and protocol and everything in statute, he still came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, he called him Rabbi. Now, a lot of theologians call him Nick at Night because Nicodemus, and he waited till it was dark to come to Jesus because of his reputation. Okay, so he had fear of the people, and that is his church relationship. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was so afraid of what the church people may say, but he wanted a relationship with Christ that he had to go see Jesus. And when he went to Jesus, here's the question: He said, you know, I know you come from God. I know you are a teacher. In other words, he was saying, I know you are the Messiah. And he says, you know, you could not perform the miracles. You could not do what you do unless you were from God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so without a doubt, Nicodemus knew that this was the Messiah. Then Jesus told Nicodemus that in order to enter into my kingdom, this is it, to be saved, he said, a person must be born again. This was huge, Jeanette, because it took out prestige, status, nepotism, money. You know, it took out culture, race. It took all those things aside and it leveled the playing field, because he said in order to get into the kingdom of God, a person must be born again, and you're born again by Christ. And then Nicodemus asked him the question that we're talking about today. He said this, he said, how can I be born again? How can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born again? Because I want people to hear this. This was a man that was on the Supreme Court at his time, the Sanhedrin Court, and he was a Pharisee, which meant that he was in the ruling body, equivalent to a senator and being a Supreme Court judge at the same time. That's a whole bunch of status, okay? So he was very, very intelligent. So he's asking Jesus this question, do I enter into my mother's womb a second time? No. And so Jesus had to explain this to him because he'd never heard it before, okay? So he said, unless you are born of, here it is, of water and spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom. And so when Jesus was baptized, okay, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And that's what he was saying to him. You repent with your mouth, with your heart, okay, and your mind, you repent. And then there is that water and that spirit. The baptism is an outward sign of an inward dwelling. It is us having a spiritual circumcision, okay, because this is New Testament, not Old Testament. Circumcision experience with Christ, okay, being and showing as the baptism is a witness to everybody who's there and for the world to see that when you go down, you're coming back up. And like you said, I went down wet and came back up. Okay. And so what happens is that's what he's telling them. And so that's what he's saying to them. It's water and it's also spirit. And so Jesus is saying to him, you're going to be baptized also with the Holy Spirit, okay? And so Jesus went through it as an example to us when John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan. And now Jesus was teaching this to Nicodemus. And so you can't have a better answer than that, than Jesus explaining to us and telling us what to do. John 3:16 and then John 3:23, okay? That is the whole crux of it. I always have people read the whole third chapter of John, and you see, and that is just the process. Now, this is the beginning, okay, and that's what it means. So now, relationship, you can have relationship with anybody, but if you don't have relationship with Christ, you cannot get to God. And if you don't get to God, then you can't get into heaven. And that's what Jesus is making very clear. You've got to be born again. There is no way around that, okay? It doesn't matter who your mom is, who your bishop is, who your dad is. It doesn't matter what family you were born in. It doesn't matter how much money you have, because you can't buy your way into this. And you can't use crocodile tears. And this is not just you stating words. And so we can fool people, we can fool ministers, we can go through it as a ritual process, but God really knows our hearts, minds, and soul when we're serious. And when you confess with your mouth that you're saved, you know, the Holy Spirit knows it.
And, you know, Pastor, that's interesting, because a lot of times we say, well, you know, I pray, I went to church, I did this, I'm good with God. And but it takes a lot when we start talking about that relationship, because many of us don't even know how to do relationships. Now, I have some information. It talks about how to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is one of the things that you were talking about. And they break it down into five parts to becoming a believer, because before we even start talking about being a believer, we got to make sure our relationship is right. And one, it says, God loves you and me so much that he desires to have a relationship with us. A lot of times we wonder if we're even worthy. You know, I attended the Woman Thou Art Loose conference, and it was awesome. to where a lot of individuals thought it was going to be spiritual, but they talked about businesses, they talked about self-esteem, they talked about mental health, they talked about money management, they talked about so much stuff that was also in the spiritual realm, but they still focused on relationship and your relationship with God, and it was very powerful. But when we talk about, even though God loves you and me so much that he desires to have a relationship, that means that we all are qualified to have that relationship. So we don't have to count ourselves out. And through this relationship with Christ, we experience peace, purpose, and the result of an eternal life. And that's what you're talking about in regards to heaven. Now, when we talk about, this is the purpose of why we are on earth, so we may enjoy that relationship with God, our creator. We talked about some things in regards to the treasures of heaven on earth. We talked about a lot of these different things because it goes back to what you was talking about, even with John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he also gave his only, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And again, that goes back to the relationship. The second one, and I'm going to stop there because I want you to kind of pick this up. God loves you and me even though we're sinful, and standing between us and our relationship with God is sin. So a lot of times when we talk about that relationship, some people are afraid of that relationship because they don't want to do all the work. It's like, okay, I want to do this, but I don't want to give up that, which is one of the things you spoke on before about being in church and a person said, I don't know if I want to give that part up. So what about that? In regards to standing between us and our relationship with God is sin.
Well, first we have to understand this, that in the book of Ephesians, the Lord tells us that he knew everything about us before the very foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. And I established this in New Converts, that God knew what we were going to do, when we were going to do it, how we were going to do it, and he yet sent his son. And that's what relationship means. A born-again believer needs to know that God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to do your best. He expects you to strive. He expects us to strive towards perfection. Okay, that's what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians. And what we have to understand is that even though we're born again, we are still sinners saved by grace. Okay, I want to say that one more time. We're classified as sinners saved by grace. And we talked about that before too, in like the 12-step program, that an alcoholic still calls themselves an alcoholic, even though they've been sober 10, 15, 30 years, because they understand that. And so a sinner has to understand that. To put it the way I was taught, is that your spirit is now saved, but your body is still, in the flesh. And that body is still subject to sin. But God has given us grace, okay? And that grace is there to let us know, okay, that we can repent. And so I'm all over Ephesians today when I'm talking about saved by grace. That's Ephesians 2 and 8 for the believers, for the people who are listening and who are watching. And it's important for us to understand that, because when believers are saved, they should go into a new convert class or a new believers class. And what it does is gives them a foundation on what it means to be born again. It gives you, baby scriptures to read and to learn. You get a good foundation on Christ and salvation and God, and what is expected of a new believer. And then what we call in theology, we start growing the new believer on the milk of the word. A Christian life is almost similar to the natural life. I told the believers in Bible study a few months ago that it's interesting that in all of nature, animals are born to experience this world. Okay? Follow me for a second. A horse is born, and in a few minutes he's standing on his legs, and in a few hours he's galloping. So is a cow, so is a pig, so is a kangaroo. And they're ready to eat on their own. And it seems that the more intelligent a mammal or an animal is, the more the gestation period is, right? And so humans, we're the highest up on that chain, right, Jeanette? And so, I have my 2-year-old son, and there's a lot of things he still can't do for himself, even
mm-hmm.
though we're the most intelligent species on the planet, okay? You know, a kid is not really on their own or you know, some at 4, some at 5, but they still need parental supervision. And so
mm-hmm.
I said that to say this, you know, because you're born again, you're not ready to be loosed in a month and 2 months and 3 months. You need good teaching. You need to have a solid foundation. You need to get rooted and grounded in the Word. You need to develop that relationship. And as we
mm-hmm.
talked about on the other few shows, that relationship starts with prayer. It starts with fasting. And you have to learn those things. You have to learn
mm-hmm.
how to pray effectively, how to pray fervently, to get an effective prayer through the Lord. You have to learn how to fast correctly. You have to learn how
mm-hmm.
to have devotion. You have to learn how to, you know, come before the Lord or how to read His Word. And these things right here should not scare the believer. They all should be exciting. And so they have
mm-hmm.
to be taught properly by someone who is excited, who has the exuberance, the charisma,
mm-hmm.
to really want to show them all the things of God. And that's important for the believer to understand that. And so
mm-hmm.
when you get saved, listen, people, when you're born again, you don't have to walk on eggshells thinking that I'm going to
mm-hmm.
lose my salvation if I slip up. I just lost it. I'm done. That's what the enemy wants you to think. God's grace is so efficient. God's grace waxes abound. God's grace
mm-hmm.
is full. And that's what we have to understand. And so
mm-hmm.
if we, you know, if people thought like no one would be saved, Jeanette, if we thought if I sin once, I'm done. And so that's what grace is for. It's not. You're born again. You're growing with Christ. And then as you build that relationship up month after month, year after year, you learn to defeat certain things of your character, your nature, certain proclivities. You become stronger to those things. And then
mm-hmm.
you'll find out that some things are going to be easier to defeat than others, but you are yet born again. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And you know, Pastor, I want to say there's some steps, and I have some information about steps to become a believer. And this is interesting because, like I said, we start talking about that relationship, we understand what that means, becoming a believer also. But one of the things it says is becoming a believer can take place anywhere. And I remember when Shirley Caesar was playing church one time, and she was singing in a song, and one of the kids' mother told her sibling she ain't playing this time. And it's interesting because a lot of times when we think that it has to happen in a church, it can happen anywhere. Because going through the steps when we're talking about becoming a believer requires praying to God. So you may want a quiet place where you wouldn't be interrupted, because prayer is simply talking to God. And it kind of brings me to mind when we were at the show weeks ago, and the guy was talking about he didn't know how to pray, and they think that it has to be a formality. The thing is, there's no special language, there's no special words, because God sees you and knows what you're thinking and what's in your heart, which is what you indicated. So as long as this is genuine and you are in that point of that life where you are for real and you're ready, He will most assuredly hear what you say. And that's one
yes.
of the things that individuals need to be aware of, because they think, oh, well, I'm not ready. Or, and you mentioned something about even with addiction and rehab and, you know, meetings. I always ask individuals, are you willing, are you ready, and are you able? And that's
right.
where a lot of times individuals get caught up at, because they'll say, I'm willing, but they're not ready, because they still want, they don't want to give up everything with this walk.
Right.
You know, ready and able. Okay.
Well, you just brought up a good point, and I want to speak on two things right now. The first thing is that number one, the trick of the enemy is that no one can be and no one has to be perfect to become born again. And because if people are waiting until they're perfect, it's never going to happen. And
mm-hmm.
what happens is you come in, and then God's grace is sufficient, and then as you learn, you know, you grow in being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so very important for people to understand, because people are like, well, I'm going to wait till I stop drinking. I'm going to wait till I stop fornicating. I'm going to wait till, you know, I get my credit right and this and that and those things. And they want to come in and think that God requires you to be a perfect citizen when you get saved. And so the problem is, Jeanette, we talked about religion earlier. Religion has those rules, not God, not Jesus. And so that's why Nicodemus came to Jesus again, because the Jews had the same rules, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what that was is that you had to be the cleanest, sharpest, and best family and this and that in order to come into the synagogue and all these things. And that is not how Christ was. Even Jesus,
mm-hmm.
in his earthly ministry, he went to those that were often left out. He went to those that
mm-hmm.
were often pushed aside and kicked aside because he knew their hearts. And when he talks about the Beatitudes and when he gave his Sermon on the Mount, he made all those things clear that he was leveling the playing field. And so what he's looking at is your heart, because you could be the most morally fit person on the planet and then not confess your sins to Christ and not enter into the kingdom of God. And so there are a lot of people who by practice, who by their culture are moral. And there's a story of the rich man in Matthew in the Gospels that comes to Jesus, who is very moral, and said that I've kept all the commandments. I've done all this. He said, what must I do to follow you? What must I do to inherit the kingdom? And Jesus looked into his heart and saw his weakness was his money, was greed. And Jesus said, sell everything you have and follow me. And he said, no, I can't do that. And so he said, I can't do that. And that's what we have to understand. The other thing is that what trips up another people, a lot of people, my second point, is church folks. We've made it clear for our regular listeners that there's a difference between being a Christian and being church people or church folks or religious people. And religious people are fault finders. They always want to find fault. They find fault in what you dress and how you look. They find fault in, your attendance, they find fault. You know, these people will search out things to try to make themselves look better by making others look bad. And we can't do that. And so I've seen believers, we're all sinners. We all have hangups. But there was a time when the church is getting better now, and we might have to do a show on this later on. We brought it up before. But the church has a different attitude now towards homosexuality. It's getting better.
Okay, that's going to be next week.
but there was a time.
We'll talk about that next week.
But there was a time when they would get judged right away. If we suspected a person was sweet, had sugar in their tank, these colloquials that they use. Or, if we saw the way they walked, if a man dressed in two bright colors and this, all these things. And I'm talking about church people now. What happened is that we judge and we push folks out before they even have a chance to develop relationships. And then now those people are guilty themselves.
Yeah. And it's interesting you spoke on that. So we can do that next week. And because I don't think I was dreaming, but I remember so vividly, because I'd be so tired when I get home, I'd just pass out. But I think I saw it on the news, because I don't think it was a movie. I was watching. But one of the pastors stepped down from a church because of his sexuality, and he didn't want to cause any more embarrassment to the church. And the congregation was standing behind him, but it was the people in the community where it was becoming a problem. So that is true, because we're finding a lot in people's attitudes. And, that doesn't mean that you have to welcome everything that people do, and we talk about a lifestyle. But when we talk about being born again, it's like, okay, what do that mean? And trying to separate it, we got not only just religion, and we got, not only just being religious or relationship, now we got one sexuality, but if you're talking about are they married, they're not fornicating, it's like, okay, so how are we supposed to be looking at that? So it is something that is definitely a challenge that we see is definitely changing, but we do have to to be mindful of some things. Now, Pastor, I have some information again, and in regards, we're talking about being born again, and being born again means giving up your old life to a new life through Christ Jesus. Becoming born again Christians, like we said, it sounds difficult, but God made it easy for his faithful to come to him. And by accepting Christ, you can come before God and be born again. And if you want to be born again by becoming a Christian, and like I said, and that's not to force things down a person's throat, but what happens is then you live the life for Jesus as best you can. Finally, you can grow your faith by doing certain things, which we're talking about, attending church, reading the Bible, and praying. And we gave some information in regards to that. But when we start talking about belief and people's beliefs and believe in God and his son, Jesus Christ, before you can accept Jesus, you must first believe, Christians believe God created the heavens and the earth. Now, a lot of times we start talking about that, and I want to go back to the conference, and people's beliefs and people's faith. And, you know, we struggle with some of that because we want things, it's a matter of interpretation. We read it, we hear it, we've been told it, but it's like, what do you really believe and what is your interpretation? And it goes back to what I was talking about before with John 3:16 and what it says. Another thing it talks about is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, which has a lot to do with that relationship too. Because as a born-again Christian, you also accept Jesus in your heart as your personal Savior. You're acknowledging that Jesus died for your sins. You mentioned earlier, we get so stuck on sin, we lose sight of everything. We go with sins, we go with faults, we go with guilt, we go and deliverance and transformation. Yeah. That's why earlier I was saying that it's being transformed. You go through a transformation. Right. You wasn't just born like this. You had to go through some things, experience some things, and say, Lord, I need you, Lord, I want you, you know, and knowing what that relationship is about. So, Pastor, how can, and with the listeners out there, learn to accept that?
Well, you again, there's a couple things you touched on. So let me hit the first one first. I'm going to hit on this giving up old life. And I have to go back to the root of it. So follow me because I'm going to answer both questions. So the first part is I'm going to deal with religious people, and I'm going to deal with what I would call legalistic people, okay? And what that is that these are people in modern-day Christianity that followed the character of the Pharisees in the New Testament, that they added a whole bunch of rules to church that God don't have there, okay? And so when you join a denomination, say you're Baptist, say you're Church of God in Christ, say you're Foursquare, it doesn't matter, Assemblies of God, right? They not only hand you a Bible, but they hand you a whole book of rules too. Am I right, Jeanette?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Okay, and so what happens is that's not of God, all those rules. And so they're telling people, you know, you can't wear red, women can't wear pants, none of those things are scriptural, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All those things are part of the rules. And then people get looked at funny because they're not keeping the rules, and the rules have nothing to do with the Bible. And
mm-hmm.
so that's a big hindrance to people. We're putting a yoke there that shouldn't be there when being saved, getting someone saved, having them come to the altar, and then having them
mm-hmm.
start this new life in Christ is hard enough. And then now, let me address this giving up old life. A lot of times that's not the case. I hope people
mm-hmm.
are hearing me, listening to me. A lot of times, you know, because God says, before you were born, I gifted you. And I've given
mm-hmm.
you gifts, and I've given you things according to your several abilities. And a lot of these people are gifted, and a lot of people are working, and a lot of people are doing well. They just haven't been born again yet. They just haven't been saved. And so
mm-hmm.
If a person is cutting down their alcohol consumption and cutting down this, that's only a little bit of their life. That's not their whole life. They got dreams. They have ambition. They have children. They have relationships. They have education. They have all these things. And what happens is we have to be clear to people because people think, like, am I doing a whole 360?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And that's hard for people to they're like, what are you talking about? Give up my old life. I can't talk to my old friends? No, witness to them. I can't hang around family members and this? No, because, see, that practice is what cults do, Jeanette. That's cultist practice. And so that's what we have to tell people. What happens when you become saved is that God accentuates all the positive in your life, and then God starts diminishing the negative things and putting them where they should be. And so what happens is, see, anyone you find in the Bible, God took what they were doing and just enhanced it. Whether it was Moses, whether it was John the Baptist, whether it was Paul, God took what they were already was doing and enhanced it for the gospel. And so that's what people need to understand. And so God knows who you are. God has already ordained you. He knows the date you were going to get saved. He knows the job you're going to do, what you got saved. He put purpose in your life. And so, and that's what we need to, as believers, help people get to that place, to where they can run with grace and run free. And what I mean by run free is not to put an extra yoke upon people. And that's important for people to understand. What you're doing is you're giving up your life? No, you're gaining heaven. You're gaining something better. And for me, that's what preaching is persuasive about. It's letting people know that there's a better way than going through this life without Christ. You're still going to go through this life, but now going through it with Christ is better. Being born again, right, what that does is open you up to salvation, and now that when we pass through this life, we have heaven next. And that's what's important for the believers to understand. Now, the third part of that, was you talked about, is that all these people have their I think. This is what I think. This is what I believe. This is what I feel. And so it was the seven I's that got Satan in trouble and got him kicked out of heaven. And so I always tell believers is that when we get past all the I's, our opinion, and look at what Jesus says, then we're going to be in the right place. And what he says is what we just talked about in John 3. If Jesus is sovereign, and God is sovereign, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Trinity, and he's in charge of everything, heaven is his, and he created everything, and he says this is how you're supposed to get saved, then that's how you get saved. And so that's what we follow right there, what he's in John, okay? And by water and by spirit. There it is in the scripture. We break it down, and a lot of people try to make it complicated, and it's not. And so I'm going to leave it right there.
That's interesting, because that's the last part that it talks about in regards to this being born again, because you know that baptism part kind of makes me kind of nervous. But when we start talking about getting baptized by an ordained minister, and it indicates that you can find a minister at a local church, baptism is very important for being born again. And even though we talk about the minister would dunk you underwater and then bring you back up, but then, you know, some people do the water in regards to the pool, because you know I tried to negotiate. I was trying to make a deal. I'm like, can you sprinkle water in my hair? Can you put it in my face? Can you give me oil? Can you do it? I gotta get. And I didn't think about that doggone beach, but I was like, oh, Lord Jesus. So, well, that is a symbolism of passing away and reemerging from the water with a new person. You are born again.
Let me put it this way. Jesus even said to his father in Matthew, he said, is there any other way? And then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And there are people, that want to try and negotiate. And this is what I tell people, that there's a lot of things in Scripture that we can talk about and that we can look in different points of views, because they're cultural and they were symbolic to that time in nature. But then there's other things in Scriptures that are what we call dogmatic. That means that's it, and that's how they are. You know, dogmatic. You believe as a Christian that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose again on the third day, right? That's dogmatic. There's no way around that, because our whole faith stands on that. And so people can't be saying, no, it was one day. No, it was three. And it's proven in the Bible. It's proven in history. And the same thing. It's the same thing. You must confess with your mouth. And that's it, you know. That's what Jesus says. okay,
mm-hmm.
That he is the Son of the living God and that he died for your sins and that you confess your sins to him. And then he says, by the water and the Spirit. And so
mm-hmm.
baptism is a part of it, and water baptism. And then also being
mm-hmm.
filled with the Holy Ghost, because that's essential for us to keep this flesh in control and to grow in Christ and to have a spiritual relationship with him. That takes us to the next level. So those things
mm-hmm.
are dogmatic, okay? Other things that we can negotiate is for most people is that, you know, what day we worship. You know, we clear that
mm-hmm.
up in the New Testament that God says every day is a worship day. Worship me every day. But some people look at you funny if you go to church on Sunday. Some people look at you funny if you go to church on Saturday. If you go to church on
mm-hmm.
Saturday morning, Saturday night, it doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean you're not born
Correct.
Again. If you go to church on Sunday, doesn't mean you're not saved. If you wear pants, it doesn't mean you're not saved. All those things, Jeanette, are what we talk about as being negotiable or points that as Christians
mm-hmm.
we can agree to disagree upon. But salvation points, no. Those points aren't. And
mm-hmm.
that's where you have to have, you know, where you draw the line as far as believers
mm-hmm.
go.
And, you know, Pastor, and it goes back to the last thing that you were talking about in regard to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And
yeah.
a lot of times individuals run to the altar or they want to be, you know, somebody to pray over them or, you know, they want to start speaking in tongues. And we get
yeah.
a lot of that stuff confused. And one of the things with us doing this show is to clarify a lot of this because some individuals are getting wrong teachings. And they're so caught up in the entertainment of church. And you want to know, is the Spirit even there? Because the Spirit is real and it's alive.
Yeah.
And a lot of times individuals get that confused, especially when we're going to church for entertainment. So, Pastor, can
yeah.
you speak a little bit when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because some people will question,
yeah.
is the Holy Spirit even in that person or not?
Yeah. Yeah, it's important for the believers to understand, and that's a whole separate show. But
yes, it is.
But to be brief right now, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the most important one that he says is love or charity,
mm-hmm.
as you call it in Galatians. Okay, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit or the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit and knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, faith, healings, miracles, discerning spirits, okay, tongues, interpretation of tongues. But when he talks about the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit in Galatians, you know, tongues is mentioned last. And so as charismatic, as Pentecostals, as evangelicals, we put more emphasis on tongues because we are charismatics. And so
mm-hmm.
what people have to understand is that tongues is a gift for self, okay, because tongues is not for the edifying of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people have to understand. And tongues is evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the most important gift of the Holy Spirit is love. And people say, well, love, that's easy. Well, no, it's not. Because when it comes to loving your enemies, and that's a whole nother show, Jeanette. We got 3
mm-hmm.
shows. and then most of all, Jeanette, for people who come in broke, damaged, bruised, scarred, abused, loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, to me, is the most important gift of the Holy Spirit. Because there are people who say, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and they come into church looking at people they don't like. And people who
mm-hmm.
they feel mad at, and people who they ain't talking about, they talking about they saved, and you know they born again. Honey, you got
mm-hmm.
a long way to go.
And you know what, Pastor? And a lot of times, and I'm glad you're bringing this up because when we talk about being born again and we walk into this Christian lifestyle and we have been converted and transformed and given up some of that stuff, and even in therapy, dealing with trauma and childhood issues and, you
yeah.
know, and unforgiveness, is so many different spirits that be in individuals that they're dealing with, but then they'll say, I'm born again or I'm saved or I'm a Christian, and they use it as an excuse. It's like I remember telling my sister one time, you're a Christian when it's convenient, or we'll
yeah.
justify it with regard to our behavior, or they'll get mad and say, you better be glad I'm a Christian. You know, I'm like, okay,
right.
well, what if you wasn't a Christian? So a lot of times, and all of this is just clarifying, giving clarity to these terms so that people won't stay in the dark, because life
yeah.
is precious and time is short. I had my daughter cracking up the other day when it was a couple of weeks ago, and they had that little thing in the sky, and she was kept calling me. And I was like, why are you calling me? I'm looking at the sky thinking Jesus is coming. You messing with me. You know, and I'm trying to take pictures of it. I didn't know that a rocket or something had been set off, because we so paranoid right now. We don't, they've been saying we're living in our last days. We got to get it right. So for those of you out there that are struggling, and that's what another thing you were talking about, Pastor, is love. How can you say you love God when you're struggling with loving yourself? And even with these relationships, many people don't know how to do relationships. So that's why we're talking about these different things.
Yeah, you just brought another huge point, because it was one of the last few points I wanted to make, and then you just segue right into it, is that 80% of Americans believe that they're Christians and that they're saved because they are American and because they go to church, but they don't have a relationship with Christ. And so our purpose here today is to clarify that, which is what we've been doing. A lot of people think that they are saved because this is the country that was founded upon Christianity. First of all, I got to tell them they don't know their history, because they're wrong. Ben Franklin and a lot of these guys were atheists. They better do their research. They better know. They better know, because the country really wasn't founded upon Christianity. There's more Christians here than any other religion, but a lot of those so-called Christians are also Catholics, and that's what people have to understand. So just because you're an American, you're the red, white, and blue, that doesn't mean you're born again. Born again is just as he said, as the Lord told Nicodemus, okay? You have to be born of the water and the Spirit, and then once you're born again, you start that relationship with Christ. And so don't be caught, put under the yoke of people, under the yoke of religion. You have to have a good relationship with the Lord, and then grow in grace and grow in love. That's so important for people to understand that, because a lot of people are caught up. Church is so much of an entertainment vehicle now. We've talked several times on our show how there's the Beyonce church. There is the church of just all they do is miracles, and a lot of these miracles are fake. Because what people have come to understand is not the average church, because we spoke on that a few weeks ago, okay? But a lot of these mega church centers now, and I'm going to say this carefully, but people have to be careful, because a lot of them are businesses, Jeanette, because church brings in a lot of money. Church brings in a lot of money. Conferences bring in a lot of money. And what happens is that a lot of people are slowly transitioning back to smaller churches now, because they're getting more meat, they're getting more gospel, they're learning more relationship, they're getting more word than to have their flesh petted, and their ears tingled. And so that's what we have to understand about being born again, because church has become a business.
I wanted to say, and going back to the conference with the T.D. Jake Woman, the Art Loose conference, and those tickets, even though they were $250, they were very well worth it. But, I mean, it was thousands and thousands and thousands of people in that place. So if you're looking at all of them people paying $250, it was, oh, my God, it was crazy. But it was, like I said, it was very well worth it. But, I mean, for those of you that are out there, he did put it out there. $99 if you want to go in 2012, so if you get your tickets now. But it was even people running to the altar wanting to be a member on a Sunday.
But it's not just that, Jeanette. Comping, it's all of – see, I worked at the national level for the Church of God in Christ for years. And behind this is that there are deals made with hotels. There are deals made with restaurants. There's deals made with the taxis. There's deals made with all the comping of the airline. There's kickback, there's comps, there's all of these things. You know, there's registration levels. There's prestige. Are you a VIP? Are you a gold? Are you a silver? Do you have a regular membership? The conference is not going to affect you differently if you regular or if you gold package. You know, if you hear the word, if you sit up on the stage, front row, if you sit in the bleachers, 20 things hot. But I understand that and I get that. There's an expense and a cost to put on these huge rallies. And there are a lot of people that get good out of it. And then there's some people that go for the entertainment, but to each their own. But the most important thing, though, is that there's nowhere in the Bible, and I'm just putting this out there, and because you've gone to them, you just came back from one, and I've gone to many Jeanette. That is a requisite or prerequisite for being born again or a requisite of staying saved.
Correct.
What those conferences do is empower leaders mostly, and then for people who are striving to go to the next level and who want to go there to get a boost or a kick, because you should have heard you when you first started this show today. I was like, yes, you just got back from the conference. You know,
Let me tell you why I'm on fire, Pastor. I'm on fire because probation in my office and I'm in trouble. You hear me?
Okay.
Office is my other room. I'm in trouble.
So,
it's ridiculous. I got the popo up in here.
Yeah. But the Lord is good. So
I'm still on fire. I'm
go
good. I got probation up in my office. Oh, God. And then they get mad at me because I'll be like, okay, if I get out of compliance, how long am I going to be out of compliance? Like, I don't really care. But it's all good because so many other doors that's opening, it's just ridiculous. So, no, that's what that was. I'm in trouble right about now, but it's all good. Okay. I can go deal with the popo. So getting back to this, and like I said, talking about being born again, and if you are not in a good church, you want to find one. And it's also not about a good church. It's about good leadership. It's about a lot of different things. So, first, I'm going to let you talk to the individuals in regards to that. Because what if they say that they're ready? And meaning, I want to be born again. I want to take this step. I want to turn my life around. Pastor, for those individuals that are out there, what would you suggest that they do?
I would suggest that, you know, you have to get into a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, Bible-based ministry. And so there are a lot of charismatic people. There are a lot of people, you know, who are getting up preaching philosophy, and they're preaching other things. But you have to make sure that people are preaching Christ and that they're preaching godly lifestyle and godly living. That's what's most important. And what you have to understand is that it's important to be a member of a church. And let me emphasize again, be a member of one church. And so we have people who, you know, who attend multiple churches because of a plethora of reasons. And that's a good reason to fast, to pray, to seek, and have the Lord lead you to the right church. I gave out our information earlier. I'll give it out again at the end of the church. Our doors are open. We have a great Bible study. We do have good teaching and preaching. And so, but there's lots of good churches. And there's bad ministries out there as well. And the people need to understand that. But to be born again, the Lord also told us, in the book of Hebrews, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves with the ecclesia. The ecclesia is the church, and it is the church of God. Okay, that's important for people to understand. Not to go and just have a religious experience, but to go and have fellowship. And there's a difference between that. I can't express that enough. People saying, well, I'm saved, but if you are saved and you confess, you know, you have to be a part of the church because that's how you grow. That's how you continue to be spiritually fed. There are a lot of anemic, and I'm going to say that word again, anemic Christians.
Anemic.
Because they haven't been to church in months. They haven't been to church in weeks. Some haven't been to church in years. And they are on life support talking about, you know, I'm saved and I've been born again. No. You need to get yourself into church, and you need to attend church regularly.
Mm-hmm. It was so crazy because when I was gone, I was I was talking to Lisa, and I said, you know what? I feel bad not being in church today. I said, I'm all on Maria's Facebook page trying to see if she posted you preaching. I can't find nothing. I said, well, I guess I got to listen to old messages. But because you do get used to it because, you know, you want to make sure that you are around like-minded people and they're keeping your spirits lifted, not just being entertained, but also being fed the word, because that is very, very important. And like I said, and that goes hand in hand with that relationship because it tunes you in to your relationship with your higher power. And yes. With God. So that is, like I said, for individuals, because a lot of people think that it's fake, it's routine, it's, you know, but if you're going to be addicted to something, you might as well be addicted to Jesus, because that will help you during these times.
It's important that you say that because, you know, my alma mater, San Diego State, one of our famous professors, he's retired now, was one of those people. There's another famous pastor in Texas. I can't recall his name right now, but I'll have it for the next show. Every time a educator or a great intellectual tries to go and debunk the Bible and says, we're going to debunk the Bible, every time a so-called atheist that takes the time and says, we're going to just show these Christians they're wrong, they end up getting saved. Because there are many infallible proofs. They become born again, mm-hmm. and a lot of them become teachers. Because isn't that the same way that Paul got saved? The greatest mm-hmm. apostle that we have in the Bible, he started out being an atheist. He started out going to come against the church in the book of Acts. And he ended mm-hmm. up being the greatest apostle, writing 13 epistles, because when he went to debunk all of this and to show them scripturally and to round up all these Christians and kill them, he got saved. Mm-hmm. And so being born again is real. And all I have to mm-hmm. tell people is if you know history, read history. If you want to take the time to read the scriptures, read the scriptures. If you want to come to church, come to church. Because not only is something going to happen to you intellectually and educationally, something is going to happen to you spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
You will have
yes, it will.
An experience, and I guarantee it, and it will lead you to be born again.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's the thing, because people wonder, we talk about favor, we talk about faith, we talk about all of that, and it goes in with your relationship, because when you trust God and you stand on his word, you know, we know that God is not a man and he will not lie. So
right.
when you in that type of relationship, that is the best relationship to be in, and when you're trying to tell the people or explain it, it becomes so people think you crazy, you know, and I tell
yeah.
even when I work with my clients, I'll be like, okay, I'm not a Bible-thumping Christian, but they see it in me, they hear it in me, and they want to. And then sometimes you never know who you're talking to either, so you don't underestimate
yeah.
a person. So you got to be mindful of that too, especially when we talk about being born again, because there is a transformation. Your life will change, and you try to do away with the old things and start anew. So, Pastor, tell the clients. I'm calling the clients. Lord, Pastor, tell the people.
Yeah.
Where they can find you and find your information. And we do got to sit down and figure out this FaceTime thing, because somebody was telling me I can go to the Precious Predicaments Facebook page. And,
yes.
you know, we got to figure that out
so
that way they can
busy.
See.
Yeah, we were both busy. You were gone and then just got back in town. And I had one of the busiest last few days, but we'll figure it out so that we can be online, and then we can also be on Facebook Live too. And that,
at the
that
same
does
time,
interest
yeah.
me. I would, yes, and I do want to do that. But we can be reached at Higher Dominion Worship Center. We're located at 800 West Mission Road in the beautiful city of San Marcos, next to Palomar College. We have an incredible Bible study going right now in the book of Genesis that every new believer or every interested and experienced Christian will love. It's at 7:30 p.m. on tomorrow night, Wednesday night. And then our regular fellowship services are on Sunday at 12:30 noon. And come out and see us. We have a seat saved for you. Thank you for listening to the show today. And God bless you.
Okay, we got like 60 seconds left, Pastor. Like I said, I want to thank you that joined us. Pastor, I sent you the information with the text of our audience, so I want to give shout-out to those individuals that are listening to us in other countries. I was amazed when I saw the countries that are logging on the air with us, so they're listening to the show. So I don't know if they translate the voice. I don't know, but it just gave me a demographics of where people are. So that's interesting to know. So I do know that it is definitely growing. The word is spreading, not only in the United States, but also in other countries. So you just never know where God will take you, where he will lead you. And I'm very blessed and I'm grateful that we have this opportunity to even do this, because it is definitely a blessing. And I want to thank those that have been listening, that have been responding, and the comments that they're putting on Facebook and all the other social medias. So, Pastor, we got our topic for next week. We're going to be talking about, I don't know if you want to name it, sexuality in the church, or, but we'll come up with a topic. And until next Tuesday, remember you got this. And on Monday, this is still the month of November, so we will be talking about bringing awareness to domestic violence, which is another relationship issue that is going on. So until then, I want to thank you for joining us here for another episode here at Pressure Predicament Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.